And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here on a Friday because while Carlos and I were supposed to record on Tuesday, as you may or may not be aware, the Rowdies offseason was interrupted by some huge news. So we did not go on Tuesday like we intended, and now we are on Friday so that we could cover everything that was involved. Before we go any farther, because I'm sure everyone knows where we're leading, let's just go ahead and say, Carlos, how are you doing today?
James, I'm doing great. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty excited for reasons that we'll talk about in a second, but I mean, everybody knows what we're talking about. I have work in an hour. That'll be fun. I don't know if I told everybody this. I started bartending. There's a bar on campus over here that I've been working at. It's been kind of fun. So next time I'm in town, if you want to, you know, a half decent Moscow mule, I can try to make you one, but I'm usually pretty bad and I'm still getting my legs under me. So that'll be fun. Good times over there. But yeah, good things going. I'm really excited to talk about what we're going to talk about here, James. So I'm just going to throw it back to you so we can get into it here.
Luckily for you, my favorite Moscow mules are the worst ones, so I will probably stop by and ask you for one anyway.
There you go.
But yeah, let's hop into the actual news going on with the Rowdies here. So yeah, Carlos, there's just some, you know, some usual offseason stuff. Some roster moves were made, and oh, by the way, obviously the Rowdies have named a new manager. That is a new Scottish manager, in fact, Robbie Nielsen. Formerly of Hearts, both as a player and a manager. We're going to get into him a lot more. If that name doesn't stand out to you already, you know, that's perfectly fine because we are going to talk about him a lot, obviously. But in addition to that, there's a ton of excitement. Carlos, you've already talked about that. I think that this is a real statement hiring.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's a really good day. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if nothing else, like in terms of we'll break down who he is, kind of a little bit about what he's going to bring hopefully to the table. But if anything else, just off the bat, first reaction, this is a big name. It really is kind of a pretty big name in the world of soccer, and especially in terms of like USL.
Yeah.
Being able to attract a guy like this is really cool. So we'll talk about a little bit more about, I guess, why he's a big name and why that's important. And just a little bit. So I'm very excited, James. I'm going to throw it back to you. I'm going to ramble too much. I'm going to start spoiling it.
Well, we will be going into this into detail, obviously. So stick around for that. We will get to that in the last segment before we do our actual extra time, because we want to get everything else out of the way beforehand. So part of that, let's just go through the results in the USL Championship real fast. In the Eastern Conference Final this past weekend, Charleston beat Louisville City 2-1, and now they will host the overall final, because in the Western Conference Final, Phoenix beat Sacramento 2-1 in an upset. So Phoenix has somehow made it to the final, and Charleston, because of their higher standings in the Eastern Conference, will be hosting. So
good for them.
I will say good luck, Charleston and Lee Cohen.
Absolutely. Good for them. That'll be a fun game. It's one of the games I'm definitely admittedly, sometimes when the Rowdies aren't playing, it's hard for me to turn on the final. So I haven't watched the final live in a little bit. But I'm excited for this game. I think Charleston's such a really big club historically. Sometimes they struggle to draw crowds, James, as we might know that. But it's really, really cool. They're going to have a sold-out crowd this weekend. It's going to be a great atmosphere. I'm happy for everybody over there. I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will probably be tuning in on Sunday at 7. So before we get into everything else, I do also want to say please like and subscribe to us on YouTube and all major podcast platforms. Naturally, we are also on social media at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, everything. Wherever you are, we are too. So please follow us, and we will interact with you some more there. Now, let's do the roster moves before we actually get to the coaching itself. First of all, I do want to start and say that the USL Championship Team of the Year includes Cal Jennings and Charlie Dennis. We could go through all of it if you want, Carlos, but I think that mainly for the listeners' purposes and our purposes as well, Cal Jennings and Charlie Dennis being on there, I think is pretty deserved. They've had very good years. Absolutely. Naturally. but also congratulations to them as, you know, Rowdy's players who had a great, great year in 2023.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then interestingly, I just want to remind everybody, Cal Jennings did not get too many minutes at the beginning of the year.
No way.
This is like an MVP type season in like the last three-fourths of the year. Really, really cool stuff.
Yeah, that is important to point out. I think that a couple of people actually made this point online, and I'm sure that we had hit it on it before and, you know, podcasts a couple of months ago. But yeah, it did take him a little while to get his feet under him, so to speak, and to actually get going. So I think that, as you pointed out, and like I said, a bunch of other people that I noticed online, it is mainly like a second half of the season of the year type of play that we saw from him. And to that end, Cal Jennings is now also in the running for the USL Championship Player of the Year. So congratulations to him. I don't know if he'll win it just based on the fact that the Rowdies did not get past the first game in the playoffs, which we all, you know, desperately wanted to go differently. But either way, I still think that that is a very high honor for him, both being on the Team of the Year and possibly the USL Championship Player of the Year. When all of those awards are announced, we will obviously cover that. But I guess we'll get back to that at a future time. So, Carlos, if you could, let's get started on the roster that the team announced in terms of who's coming, who's going, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So the names that we heard are still under contract for 2024, and we saw this in the Rowdies release on social media when they put it out there. It was Connor Antley, confirmed to be coming back 2024, Charlie Dennis, Jordan Doherty, Leo Fernandez, Aaron Guillen, Deon Harris, Zach Erivo, Lewis Hilton, Cal Jennings, Forrest Lasso, Josh Perez, and JJ Williams are the confirmed names so far to be coming back for 2024. Just in those names, a lot of firepower. By the way, let's just mention the highlights there. Cal Jennings and JJ Williams coming back. The two guys are getting hot through the entire second part of the season. Fantastic to have them coming back. No real need to go out and find any attackers this offseason.
No.
Other than for depth. So this is really, really good stuff. Add into that the fact that you're bringing back Guillen and Lasso, and you have the core of your back line still, as well as Antley, Jordan Doherty, who played a lot in the back line this year. Erivo, we're going to see hopefully a healthy Erivo with many more minutes this season than last season. Same thing for Lewis Hilton. Deon Harris as well, still on the roster, hopefully getting more of a role next season. And who else? Josh Perez. Josh Perez, a name that kind of came in late this season, wasn't too big of a factor, but who knows? Maybe we see him develop into a big name player next season. Pretty cool stuff. A lot of great names there. By the way, just in those names I mentioned, that's 8 out of the 11 starters that we had for our playoff game against Birmingham.
There we go.
Pretty interesting number there. And we'll get to those that aren't in the roster, at least not confirmed yet, in a second. So those that were listed as out of contract are Jake Armin, Raico Arozarena, Abel Caputo, Ariel Martinez, Jan Ekra, and Connor Sparrow. Lacava had his loan ended, but there's ongoing conversations with Phil Breno, Jan Ekra, and Connor Sparrow. So that being said, the three players that were in the starting lineup against Birmingham that haven't been confirmed for 24 already are Ekra, Lacava, and Sparrow. Ekra and Sparrow are in conversations to renew their contract, and Lacava is at the end of his loan. So I guess it's still possible that we could see Lacava come back and we have all 11, you know, players there. But as of now, nothing there. And if I had to guess, I would imagine this would be our end of our time with Jake Lacava for now. But who knows? I mean, I'm throwing that out there, but I really don't know. That's just the news we have now. Moving on from the roster news, Nicky Law has been named an assistant head coach on the brand new coaching staff. So we won't be seeing him leave the Rowdies, which I think is a very good thing. I think Nicky Law contributes a lot, obviously, to the roster in terms of
his
coaching ability. Yeah, just a great leader from what I understand. And obviously, a player with plenty of experience, I'm sure can contribute tons on the tactical side. Players we haven't heard anything about, Dahlgaard, Kleeman, Tate, Santi Castaneda, who was sold, quote-unquote, apparently, or Lucky Mkosana. Again, notable names there. Dahlgaard had a really great season this year and last year as well, actually. I think the year season prior to this season was kind of a big factor. Kleeman would really bring back like all of the guys that made up our back line. So interesting to keep an eye on that. But those are the players we haven't heard anything about yet. James, I briefly mentioned a couple things to note here in terms of who's coming back, who we know might not be coming back, who's in conversations right now with the roster, and who we really don't know anything about. Anything to note here on your end of things? Anything to keep an eye on? Anything that you're excited about? Anything that you might be a little concerned about? Or maybe just looking at who we have coming back for 2024, early wish list in terms of where we're looking to pick up some players for the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I have concerns about at this very early stage, it is literally, we are recording on the 10th of November. So
yeah, the final hasn't even been played yet.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So there is a lot that is still going to happen, both for the Rowdies and around the league. So let's keep that in mind when I say this. But the first thing that would stand out to me is goalkeeper. Obviously, Connor Sparrow and Phil Breno are still in conversation. In all honesty, that leads me to believe that they will be back at the Rowdies. I don't expect that they would leave. This is a good project of a team. And I think that the Rowdies ownership has just made, like I've already said, a pretty statement signing when it comes to the coaching staff. So I think that that's important. But because they are not confirmed, obviously, then it's just a little bit up in the air. Will we see Phil Breno and Connor Sparrow? I would say probably 90%. But it's just because it's unconfirmed at this stage that it's a little bit of doubt. So, you know, that's a tiny creeping worry. But at the same time, you know, it's not like there aren't goalkeepers in the world that could fill that spot if something unfortunate were to happen that we couldn't sign either or both of them. So that's a little thing. Ryko Rosarena and Jake Arman, a couple of other players were announced by the team as out of contract and that we weren't having ongoing conversations with them. So the Rowdies did their, you know, fond farewell tweets about them. And I think that we're going to do more of this on a day when we don't have some other news to cover. But, you know, I think Jake Arman was a very big contributor. It was really unfortunate this season that he was injured as much as he was, especially, in my opinion, in the playoff game. Totally. I think that was a large factor in that one. Ryko Rosarena, I don't think that he was the most important contributor to our team on the field just because of the amount of minutes that he got, obviously. But at the same time, I really liked having him here. Obviously, his brother plays for the Rays. I think that most people know that. But at the same time, it was kind of cool that we had somebody who was competing internationally. If you go back to the CONCACAF Nations League games that have been happening and the one, I believe, that is upcoming, Ryko Rosarena was named to all of those Cuba squads, and he was their starting goalkeeper for the last four games. He kept several games too. Yeah, I try to watch as much CONCACAF Nations League as I can because I'm a soccer sicko, as they like to say. But I really enjoyed watching Ryko play for Cuba because he's got this confidence as a goalkeeper, and you know, maybe sometimes that doesn't even work for him, honestly. But he is supremely confident in himself. And usually it does work for him. I will also include that part. I really think that he helped backstop Cuba to a very good couple of results, and he probably will do that in a couple of days now that it's November 10th. But either way, it's kind of unfortunate. It'll be interesting to see where he winds up. Honestly, my hope is that if he does leave the Tampa Bay area, which is pretty much confirmed at this point, based on the tweets, obviously, I would like to see him go somewhere where he's going to get playing time. So I don't know if that means the new Jacksonville Armada iteration. I don't know if that means the Miami FC. Maybe that means Inter Miami's MLS next pro team. I really don't know. I just want to see him playing because I think that that would be cool for him in his career. And everyone needs to play to get better, obviously. So that's just
They loved him up in Madison. During his loan spell over there. Fans over there got really attached to him, and he had a great half season or so for them when we did that weird little loan swap for him and Breno. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm a betting man and if he ends up in Madison. It could be a random like little connection, but he has the connections there obviously already from playing on loan, and obviously a team in the third division. Definitely could see him getting a lot more playing time there.
Exactly. And that's what, again, that's kind of what I hope for Raikou in his career. I think that he deserves it. He is a charismatic person, like on the field, just with his actions and his big diving saves and everything. So yeah, I hope for the best. I mean, I hope for the best for all of them, but I definitely felt myself more attached to Raikou just because of his playing time with Cuba. And I always want to see Cuba do well because that country has been through a lot in terms of their ability to put a team together and play international soccer. So I like that it's kind of coming together for them right now. And he's a big part of that. Moving higher up the field a little bit, it's interesting to me that Freddie Kleeman is not being kept, and Forrest Lasso and Aaron Guillen and Connor Antley are all being kept. Those were all regular starters on the back line. Freddie Kleeman, I believe, had 28 starts this season. I'm going to have to look that up to double check. But the point is that he was a regular contributor. I guess possibly it was not enough from him to I'm assuming that he had an option on his contract and maybe that wasn't picked up. He wasn't listed at all, so we don't really know the situation with him. Same with Sebastian Dalgaard, someone you already mentioned. He's a great player too, who was very unfortunately blighted by injuries, and he's been at the Rowdies now for a long time, one of the people who has made over 100 appearances with us. It'll be interesting to see what happens with both of them. And I want to quickly, very quickly touch on the Academy kids. Santi Castaneda was sold, quote unquote, as you said. I don't think that any fee was actually paid for his contract, because I don't think that it was a contract that would have allowed him to go to college if that's what he chose. But as it is, he went to a club in Germany, Duisburg. So I don't believe that any money was exchanged for that. But obviously he's not available to us one way or another. The other one, Tate Johnson. We didn't see any note of this as the season progressed, but it became apparent that Tate was loaned out to Charlotte, the MLS team, Charlotte's youth team. So they were in the MLS Next Pro division that's, considered third tier, but still professional. And that's where he was. I honestly don't have the stats on that. We probably could have looked that up ahead of time, but it was unfortunate, I think, for some of the season that we didn't have him available, because he could have actually filled out our bench, but helped out at left back. So if that's what they thought was best for his playing time and his career overall, then I appreciate the Rowdies coaching staff allowing him to do that. And I don't know if he's ultimately going to end up going to college, but he seems to have a bright future one way or another. There are a lot of people obviously who are watching over his career.
Absolutely.
The last player that I want to hit on before we get into, anything else, is obviously Lucky Nkosana. I think Lucky Nkosana has written his name into the history books at the Tampa Bay Rowdies. I think that he will be, if Al Lang becomes some historic marker, then his name should be etched onto the stone there. He has been responsible for some of the most incredible moments that our fan base has seen. And I don't mean like in the past couple of years. I mean, like, since the new iteration of the Rowdies has begun. I think that no one's ever going to forget that game against Louisville City, right? And, I know that he has made as many appearances as he has, I believe also over 100 for him. So it's eventually everyone gets to a point where they can't keep going at, whatever level they're playing at, whether that's a professional or even if you're, playing five-a-side on Wednesday nights. But if Lucky is not at the point where they think he's going to be a contributor to this team, then I hope he gets to determine what the next step is for himself as a player or maybe a coach. I don't know. But my personal opinion is just that I don't think we have heard the last of Lucky at the Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's a guy that's already gotten involved with, like, youth coaching in the area and everything. Exactly. He's been here for so long. I mean, I'm not going to guess about what he's going to do with his personal life, but I wouldn't be surprised if he sticks around, stays involved with the youth teams around here, kind of like a la Keith Savage, you know what I mean?
Right.
He's kind of stuck around, helped out with coaching, like what was briefly our official like academy team. I could see Lucky Nkosana getting involved in something like that. He's incredibly talented, by all accounts a great coach. So I wouldn't be surprised if he sticks around and gets involved with the U system here. Hopefully I wouldn't imagine it takes too much longer to get an official like academy set up under the Tampa Bay Rowdies name. I would love for him to be a part of that one though.
I would retweet everything that you just said if it were online. That's perfect. I think that the Rowdies do need like a dedicated academy that is, they this is their team, and it's kind of, goes down the rungs the way Man United or Man City does. I believe that they have affiliations. I'm not sure if there is an actual, like, exactly down the rung like that, but if something like that exists, then I definitely imagine Lucky will be involved at the very least in that level. So, yeah, I do not, I'm not looking forward to the day that we do have to say goodbye to Lucky as a player, but if that is coming up, then, we'll just have to, we'll have to be brave about it at the time. But, yeah, I think that to get to the roster that does exist, the last thing that I will say here is I think there's a very, very good spine in this team. Keeping all of the central midfielders that we have, Jordan Doherty looks like a very natural replacement for Lewis Hilton whenever that day comes, which obviously won't be in 2024. But, when Lewis Hilton was out this year with injury for so long, Jordan Doherty was a great fill-in for him. And I don't think that he's going to continue. I mean, obviously, even when Hilton was back, he wasn't a fill-in anymore and he continued to start. So I think that Jordan Doherty is going to take over as a very, very important player for the Rowdies in 2024. I think that, a lot of these guys are going to be important. The one player that I do want to definitely also see come back is Jan Ekra. As we already said, there's ongoing conversations with him. I think RBLR Sports is one of the big Jan Ekra fan clubs out there. But yeah, this is still a very promising roster. Having Leo Fernandez come back for 2024, assuming that we actually get more time with him naturally, then yeah, I am excited for everything that we have lined up based on all the news that we've had this week, obviously.
Absolutely. This is like we talk a lot about like bringing back the core of a team, the core, right? What's the core of a team? This is like, I just want to put into context how, like, or not, I just want to reemphasize how impressive it is that we're like keeping this group because it goes beyond the core. A core would be like, Leo Fernandez, Lasso, Guillen, and like JJ Williams or something like that. This is like most of the squad that we're bringing back next year. Most of the starters. It's incredible. Like we really, and even if you, it, with the exception of the goalie, taking into account, like let's say Jan Ekra doesn't come back, you still have Aravo, right? And that didn't play much last year. Who else am I
And is a
missing?
very talented player.
So good. He's so good. Who else am I missing? It was Erva or it was Ekra, Sparrow, and Lakava,
Renault.
right? Let's say, we don't have another winger. Let's say we're sticking with just what we have to field an 11 for the first game. You still have Dejan Harris out there. Leo Fernandez could play on the wing if he has. Like, there's so many good players on this team that we're bringing back already. It's incredible. We really just need to add some depth pieces, tighten up in the back. Maybe add like one more player back there so Jordan Doherty doesn't really have to play in the back line. Like, there's really so much potential to just add a little bit of depth and a little bit more talent. And this team's already so good. So it's really, really cool stuff. And if we're looking for wingers, by the way, my boy Marlon Tybura, Big East midfielder of the year,
There we
right?
go.
Just scored the game winner yesterday in the Big East semifinal against UConn. He's a senior. He wants to go pro. If Nico or anybody at the Rowdies are listening to this and they want to take a look at him, give my boy Marlon a call. He's really good. He's fast. He can dribble and he can shoot and he plays on the wing. We need a little bit of wingers right now. But anyway, that's besides the point. It's super early. The summary for like how I'm feeling is just really, really excited because seeing this kind of report come back out and seeing who we're bringing back next year already makes me so excited to see who we're going to add to just kind of complement this really, really good roster already.
Yeah. Before we get into all the coaching stuff, this is already such a solid base. I really feel like, we said it at the beginning of the year last year. I said it partway through the year this year. Last year looked like, they were trying to build the roster to go and win the damn thing, to win the whole league and the trophy that we've all been asking for.
And compete for the
Obviously,
Open Cup, by the
and
way.
do okay, yes. Big important thing there. But yeah, I think that, obviously neither of those worked out this past year, and that's unfortunate, but it has turned into a very good a very, very good option for 2024. And I am looking forward to what this upcoming season brings. All right. So, Carlos, we have not talked about the coach yet in any depth. Before we do that, I do want to say liking and subscribing is free, but if you think you might need some new threads coming up this year, you can help out our podcast a little bit more by heading over to shop.rvlrsports.com and checking out all the designs that we have going on there. There will be a link in the description, naturally, and you can use the promo code COYR for 10% off of your order. So please do check it out. We are adding new stuff all the time, and I think that we should probably get some Sun stuff in there soon at some point, the Tampa Bay Sun. But yeah. We will see you in your new RBLR gear in the upcoming season. Carlos, new coach. That's it. That's the tweet, right? Let's do the real meat and potatoes of this show. Our new coach is Robbie Nielsen. There he is down at the bottom of the screen. Okay. Take it away. We can do the resume or your thoughts. Yeah. Where are you going?
Let's just start with the fact that Robbie Nielsen, by the way, is coming to us from the great country of Scotland. By the way, this will make the third like full-time coach in a row that we have that's from Scotland. So that's pretty funny. Just keeping that tradition alive. That being said, like with all due respect to our former coaches, Robbie Nielsen comes in with by far the greatest resume.
Yeah.
And most well-established resume of any of our previous managers.
I think across most of this league.
Yeah, it's really, really impressive stuff. He played mostly with Heart of Midlothian as a player in Edinburgh, played for Leicester City, Dundee United as well. Took over as a manager for Hearts later on and led them to promotion from the Scottish Championship in his first try, by the way.
Yeah.
Impressive stuff. Moved to MK Dons in League One. Didn't work out as well from him. Went back to Scotland to Dundee United, who at the time was in the Scottish second division, and again took that team to the promotion back to the Scottish Premiership before going back to Hearts, again winning promotion again, several Scottish Cup finals appearance, and was also nominated for the Scottish Manager of the Year three times without winning that. So just to summarize that, he's won three titles. All technically in the second division, the Scottish Championship, still really, really impressive stuff, being able to bring those teams back up to the Premiership. He was a Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month three times, the Championship Manager of the Month 10 times. Like, again, I'm not saying he's coming in like having won the Champions League or anything or like just done any, like, but this is a guy that is really good coach, has the highest winning percentage for as a coach at both Heart of Midlothian and Dundee United of any coach in their histories. Like, it's really, really cool stuff. You can caveat that by saying, you know, he played in the second or he coached in the second division for a little bit, but like, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. It's like a highly, highly competitive division. The Scottish league is really, really tough. And he's even led Heart to a third place finish, taking them to European football. Like, it's a guy that's in a really young age, by the way. He's only, how old is he? He is 43 years old. He's done a lot in his really short time as a coach and was able to like just kind of, again, his time at Heart, if you look at the replies in the Rowdy's tweet, you'll see like kind of a mixed bag of emotions. Some people saying like, oh, well, I hope you enjoy him in a couple months or whatever. But but at the same time, you see like an equal amount of tweets saying how great a coach he was and how like they're happy that he got another opportunity. Based on my like brief research, it seems like the general consensus in Scotland was that his dismissal from Hearts was pretty harsh, that they were doing pretty well, that he is again the winningest head coach percentage wise of all time over there, and that he was generally doing a pretty good job over there, but I guess just couldn't bring home like the first division title at any point. But again, he was able to do so much over there that I feel like his resume, and like, don't get me wrong, I'm not talking down on like US soccer at all, but I feel like his resume is for another Scottish Premiership club, an English second division club, an English third division club. Like, there's a lot of stuff that he's done that's conducive to getting a job in several parts of Europe.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated that he came to the Tampa Bay Rowdies. I'm ecstatic, obviously. Very happy, like just based exclusively off his resume. I know a little bit about his play style, but just reading it just based off his resume, I'm very, very happy. I think it's, first of all, like general conclusions, pretty cool for the league as a whole that we were able to bring in a coach of this guy's caliber, this guy's resume. Obviously, particularly cool for the Tampa Bay Rowdies that we carry enough weight, you know, as a football club to be able to bring in a coach of this caliber. Again, I know there might have been some sort of Scottish connection. Maybe Neil Collins knew him. Like, I don't really know. I'm sure he got connected with the Rowdy somehow, right? Couldn't have just been entirely random. He was just like, oh, I'm going to go coach some random club. And then but the fact that we were able to lock him in, bring him here, and, you know, have him commit to this club is really, really impressive for us. And I fully believe that just in my short time of listening to what he said, I listened to his interview on 95.3 with Jay Retcher and them. And he seems like a very smart guy, obviously. But beyond that, it's pretty cool that I think he's willing to go on like local sports radio and everything and chat with these guys. I think he kind of, it's going to be a learning curve for him, I'm sure. Like just the general culture here. Maybe even like how the USL operates and kind of what he needs to be successful here.
Right.
But he's a smart guy and I'm sure he's going to figure it out. So I'm not too concerned on that end. I had a little bit of discussion like on Twitter with another account I'm forgetting, like thinking about who we want as our next head coach or whatever. And I was like, maybe we should bring in somebody from Latin America or the Caribbean or something to kind of like, I guess, tap into those talent pools, especially somebody who kind of like understands those areas, because there's a lot of talent that gets overlooked over there. So admittedly, just when I first saw that we were hiring Robbie Nielsen, someone who I hadn't heard of personally, it was a little bit, oh, okay, whatever. But again, I can't help but be excited when you read his resume, right? Like, this is a proven coach and he has my full backing. It doesn't really matter how his time ended in Heart of Midlothian, like whatever, like he's clear that he's done great things. So I can't expect anything but great things for the Tampa Bay Rowdies with this roster and a coach of his caliber. So again, that was my manifesto. I just read that. I didn't read anything, but I'm like speaking just straight out of the heart, how like first gut reactions. Excitement is generally how I'm going to summarize reaction around this coach.
Yeah. I will retweet all of that actually, because I saw that conversation that you just mentioned about like trying to bring in a coach who has a more South American, or frankly, in my eyes, just a Caribbean even background, because whether or not this is, you know, good, I don't think that it's good, but a lot of those players in that area of the world are overlooked in terms of their soccer ability, because Trinidad and Tobago has made one World Cup. Jamaica has made one World Cup. I think Cuba might have also made one World Cup. Haiti's made one. These are all on the men's side, I should emphasize, but these are not generally known powerhouses, let's say, in the world of men's soccer. At the same time, Jamaica has produced a lot of very good players. Andre Blake is a regular MLS goalkeeper of the year contender, if not winner. I know that he's got at least one. There are players in Jamaica right now who are of a similar level of talent, and they are just, you know, kind of unfortunately getting overlooked in a lot of places. Hopefully that's happening a lot less. Definitely there are players in Cuba. Definitely there are players in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. I recently saw the CONCACAF under 20 championship that was qualifying for the under 20 World Cup, and the Dominican Republic team was it's a long story about, you know, how they made it to the final, but like they were an underdog all along the way and they made it there and they won and they qualified for their first World Cup at any age category, either gender. They qualified for their first ever Olympics soccer tournament. Like they are there's a lot of talent there, and all of that is probably going to be overlooked. So I will just emphasize, just like you had said earlier, that I knew a little bit more about Robbie Nielsen just following the Scottish game. But I will say that my first reaction to this was, oh, shoot, we didn't get somebody who knows how to go and, you know, talk to or has contacts, I should say, and a scouting network throughout Central America and take advantage of that, you know, being effectively in our backyard. But
yeah,
my next step, of course, you got to look at Robbie Nielsen. And now I will reiterate, if anyone is unaware, because I'm sure I say it all the time, but my dad is from Scotland and he is a Rangers fan. So I grew up in a Rangers family and, you know, I follow that club and I follow Scottish football. But yeah, I didn't have the best idea of everything that Robbie Nielsen had done with Hearts. I knew, you know, his name and that he'd been there, obviously. But yes, he won promotion with Hearts twice. He won promotion with Dundee United once as well. I mean, in his second time at Hearts, the year after he won promotion, he got them up to third place in the league and qualified for European group stages. That's not something that Hearts frequently does. And especially recently, I will point out, Hearts have been something of a yo-yo club in the past couple of years. And I'm sure there's somebody listening to this who's going to be upset, especially with me being a Rangers fan. But I will leave all of that behind just to say, like, I think that this is, I'm really incredibly surprised at the tier of coach that we were able to nab here. Like someone from the Scottish Premier League, that's, you know, Stephen Glass, who is coaching Memphis, is also someone from that league, and he's coached there, not very successfully, I will point out. But like, this is a caliber of coach that I think is kind of unheard of almost in this league. You know, we have John Hackworth at times bouncing around. We have Bruce Arena acolytes at times bouncing around. But this is, yeah, somebody who has done everything that he's done is. It's wild. It kind of blows my mind that we were able to do this. When we were talking to Neil Collins after or right before he left, obviously, he said that, you know, when it was announced that he was leaving, he was trying to talk to the club about helping them find a replacement. Ultimately, they went with Nicky Law for the interim, and now he's staying, which I think, like I said already, is great for continuity's sake. And he'll help Robbie Nielsen understand the ins and outs of the USL a little bit more every day. But Neil had spoken about how this is like a highly valued position in soccer now. I don't think that that's just blowing smoke up our rear ends. I think that the Tampa Bay Rowdies are a well-backed club at this point. They have very good facilities, both training in Tampa and as a stadium in St. Pete. I honestly love Al Lang because of its location, and I don't live in St. Pete, but there's a lot going for this club. They have retrofitted the stadium to be very well fit for the sport that now is hosted there, and there's a great fan base. You know, I think that there are a lot of people who were disappointed with the way that this season ultimately went, and all of those people are still going to come back and support. You know, it's not like, I guess you could say, your stereotypical Miami fan, right? You know, they only show up when there's a big name in town, a very certain specific big name. But yeah, there's a lot going on at this club that's positive. I think that also something that is going to attract a coach to this club is probably the amount of money that they have to work with. I think that it's hard to build depth at this club. This is something that you and I have already discussed in detail several times, and I'm sure we'll do it more in the offseason. But at the same time, you look at the top end of our roster and the quality that we have there. At the USL Championship level, that's really, really high quality. So, I mean, I really do take Neil Collins, I should say, at his word, that this is a highly coveted position in the sport now. You know, it's not MLS and it's not, I don't know, Boca Juniors or River Plate or something in the Americas. But, you know, outside of playing in the top divisions in Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, or the US, I think the USL Championship is probably one of the best leagues that you can be in that's in the Western Hemisphere. I really don't think there's a lot of debate to be had about that. And, I mean, you know, this is this is kind of proof of that, that we can go out and get a player who, a coach who has this resume. I'm very interested to see what his scouting network does look like. Are we going to go and get a bunch of European players, or does he have some sort of link? Maybe the Rowdies have some sort of link that will help get us into South America and Latin and Central America a lot more. That's personally what I would hope for. Like I said, I think that that talent is overlooked, and that kind of pisses me off as a fan of international soccer that I am. But beyond that, I think that it would also be, you know, it's a little bit closer to home. If we can find players who, you know, they only have to travel by plane about 2 hours to go and do their international duty, then maybe that's, you know, maybe that's something that's cooler for them. Regardless of how that ultimately plays out, you know, that's something that I am interested to see. Because as much as Felix Schroeder did contribute at, you know, times over the course of the season, and I'm not trying to make this sound very harsh because I don't think that it's necessarily deserved, but like, we didn't get to see a lot of him, and that was due to injury. And then ultimately he left halfway through the year. So, you know, I would like to, I'm just interested to see exactly what type of players ultimately his scouting network leads him towards and who comes in to make this team better. But at the same time, I think that he's not going to be somebody who, you know, stands for players that will kind of treat this team as a vacation. I don't think that he's treating it as a vacation, for one thing. But also he was hammering home on, you know, three big things in his press conference. And we had producer Eureka, always handy. He was there at the press conference while I was working, and Carlos, you were obviously out of the state, so we needed somebody there. And luckily our producer Eureka was able to help us out. But yeah, he told us about, you know, how that press conference went, and he kept hammering home on three things, and they were all revolving around, you know, the quality of person that he wants to bring into the club. So I think that that's going to be very important as well. I saw a lot of comments online when this was announced that, you know, Robbie Nielsen is essentially taking this job as a vacation. I think that most of those are just jokes, and I don't, you know, buy that that's the case. But he's also going to make sure that no player is looking at this job as a vacation. You're not coming to Tampa Bay to, you know, just live and go surf sometimes and play soccer on the weekends. You know, it is a job for them, and he's going to make it as professional as probably anyone in the USL Championship will have it. So it's wild to me. Hearts are, you know, an interesting club, and the background that he has, I don't have a ton of information about, you know, his playing style yet. I've read a couple of articles here and there. I've tried to listen to a couple of things here and there. You know, I don't think that we're going to have a great idea of that unless we can speak to him. And, you know, he probably won't give away the farm on that either. So it'll probably more come down to how we see it, everything play out over the course of the year, naturally. But, you know, Carlos, what else in his background or his playing style or anything like that kind of stands out to you here? Because at this point, I feel like I'm just repeating how astounded I am.
I think no notes. I feel like generally what I've read, and this is kind of just poaching off of USL Tactics on Twitter, and other, you know, combined observations I've seen, it seems like generally a continuation of what Neil Collins liked to do here, which obviously is great in terms of kind of the continuity. Like, we haven't really changed our system too much in the past couple years, so I don't see why we should go out and try to change anything too drastically, especially with players who have been here now for at least a year, some of them even more, obviously Leo Fernandez. But right. It seems like this is a hire that is a really big name, great resume, but also will be able to adjust rather quickly. Because again, there's a learning curve. I'm not saying like it's going to be super easy for him in his early time, but I do think he can adjust pretty quickly. Like, it's not going to be a huge, huge gap for him to, I don't know, jump across in terms of figuring out how it works here, setting up a good system to go out and get players. Because again, he understands that there's a good core here and he doesn't need to do too much with that. He really just needs to go out and get a couple depth pieces.
Yeah.
So to my understanding, good coach, good system. That's going to be, again, generally a continuation of what we've had. And obviously, what I've heard is that he's a good guy too. So, I mean, I think that's important to have a good leader in the locker room. And other than that, James, there's not much I can add. I mean, this is, we're not going to know too much in terms of his concrete effect on the Rowdies and what that's going to look like. Obviously, until the preseason progresses, until we get to the preseason, I guess. But I think all I can say for now is that I'm excited and I'm looking forward to see what you can do with this team.
Yeah, and one thing I will highlight since you mentioned it, him seeming like a good guy and that being kind of a core value of his is that you have to have like good men to represent this club as a Tampa Bay Rowdy. Eureka, again, when he was at the press conference, noted this fact for us. He had spoken with someone who is a Hearts fan and brought this into the brought this up at the press conference. But I'm just going to read what he wrote for us. Nielsen went to coach and help vulnerable kids at CMAB Care and Education School, and I believe that was in Edinburgh. The charity provides residential care and education to young people across Scotland with complex needs that require specialized support. So that was something that he started to focus on after Eureka brought that up, and that he wants these Rowdies players to be part of the community, not just like, again, a Saturday night or Friday night at times diversion. Like, yes, we all watch soccer and go to the games, and that's like what a soccer player is. But in America, you can't do just that, because whether or not it's good, in my opinion, it's not. Soccer isn't like at that level that you can just afford to be an athlete and not care about anything else. You have to go, and you have to, frankly, there are plenty of people in the Tampa Bay area and surrounding that don't know what the Tampa Bay Rowdies are. You have to go and you have to advertise yourself as a club. And you have to go and tell people, oh, there's a soccer team to come and support in this local area. It is professional. You can come and you can watch them for, you know, however much tickets are. So I think that one way to do that is charity work. I think that really, I mean, I've seen so many different things about different initiatives that clubs do across the world that are related to charity work, and how, you know, A, that's like good because charity is unfortunately necessary in this world. Like, if everything worked, then we wouldn't have charity. But obviously, there's a lot of charity that needs to be done so that people can deal with terrible situations that are going on. But like, even forgetting like the level of stuff going on, it's just important to go and do in your community, kind of to benefit yourself as a professional team. Like, you engender so much support when you go and you just hang out at an elementary school for a day. A lot of kids play soccer and they play other sports, and you know, maybe they give up soccer along the way. But if you are a young soccer player who's also playing baseball or basketball or whatever, and the local soccer team comes to your school one day and they're signing shirts and they're giving you merch and they're like taking pictures and telling you to stay in school and all the, you know, all the stuff that they do, that really sticks with kids. Especially, that's how you build fans that are like really attached to the club. That's what that should mean. And I think that Robbie Nielsen having a real soft spot for that, that's the mark of like a really good person, but also someone who's going to be extremely valuable to the organization as a business, if you want to look at it that way. Like, I'm really excited on like more fronts than I had thought about before we even. So on Tuesday, it became apparent that there was gonna be a coaching announcement, and you know, all of these new things that have come out since he was actually announced, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even expect to want to talk about this, you know. It's just there's a lot of great stuff here, Carlos. I'm going to be interested to see how everything works out, just like everybody else, because unfortunately, yeah, or fortunately, he's a soccer coach, he has to win, you know, that's what he's here to do. As you said, there's going to be a playing or a learning curve to everything. I think that unless the Rowdies are absolutely dreadful, god awful this year, there's no reason that we can't let him even have a bad season if that were to occur. I don't expect it because of the level of talent here, but like, we won't get relegated. That's something that I'm sure he knows at this point. Like, we can't win promotion or relegation. That sucks in one way, but even if we have a bad year this year, we can't get relegated. So he needs to have, you know, yeah. he needs to be given the leash to turn this team into what he wants and, you know, put his imprint on it, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, you know, I think that success is likely because he knows how to coach in this sport. You know, you have to get used to the roster rules here, which are not as onerous as MLS, I will say. And you have to get used to the heat and the humidity, and you have to get used to being able to run in that, in, you know, 90 degree weather in November. But so you take all the stuff that is his learning curve, but if you give someone all of that stuff and they're already like this high up the ladder of, you know, soccer understanding, I can't help but expect good things. So I'm really looking forward to how this year goes. I don't know, you know, I don't know what else there is to say.
Nothing else. I mean, we can't know anything else again until the preseason starts to kick off. So I'm looking forward to getting in January. There's preseason games in February. Bring back the Sunshine Cup or whatever it was called. That was fun. Yeah, it's gonna be a good time, James.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Carlos, I think that is a good way to end this segment of the podcast. We only have a little bit more, folks. We are going to do our extra time here and say, first of all, this is something more that we want to, something that we're going to cover more later is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, the USL is moving partly to CBS Sports. I'm pretty excited by this. I think CBS Sports is making an incredible play towards becoming like a hub for soccer in America. Obviously they don't have MLS because Apple does, but you know, whatever, they have a lot of other really good properties, including now the USL. So I'm really excited for that. We're going to go a little bit more in depth over the off season, but yeah, that's cool news. I believe NWSL also just re-upped their deal, and I don't know the details offhand of that one, but regardless, we will talk about all of that a lot more. And I want to say congrats to Gustavo Fernandez, the brother of Leo Fernandez, playing with North Carolina FC, who won the USL League One on Sunday. North Carolina FC, this is their last season in the USL League One because they are promoting themselves to the USL Championship, where we will end up playing them over the course of the 2024 season. So Gustavo got to win on his way out of that league, and we'll see if Leo ends up playing against him this year. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yep, cool stuff. And it's good for NTFC as well. They've been kind of struggling to get back to, I guess, what they used to be a little bit, and got a good crowd there for that final. Good turnaround from them from last season to this season, by the way. Yep. They were really struggling last season, really pulled it together this year. So that's pretty cool stuff. Speaking of finals, USL Championship. Yeah, they have their final this Sunday. It's going to be a good time. None other than the Charleston Battery hosting Phoenix Rising. I will absolutely be rooting for Charleston. I don't have any strong dislike towards Phoenix or anything. I just like Charleston. I like the people over there. Went to an away game once over there. Genuinely probably the nicest people I've ever met anywhere in the world, in Charleston, South Carolina. So, I don't know. Nice people deserve nice things. Hope they get their championship.
There you go.
Yeah. And then finally, our last piece of extra time news, James, is none other than the announcement that the new women's team coming to Tampa Bay, playing in the USL Super League, finally got a name and a logo. A beautiful logo, might I add.
Yes.
Go ahead and check out the RBLR Sports episode on that with Lizzie and Mike Pendleton, Issa. Just a great episode over there, covering the reveal of the name, the Tampa Bay Sun. Cool stuff over there. Great logo again. Again, we don't know too much about the team now, but I'm glad we finally have colors for the team. We know generally what, you know, the uniforms will look like. At least the colors of the uniforms and, you know, the crest and everything. So exciting stuff. It'll be a fun time. And I'm really looking forward to see what they can do.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about, you know, teams coming and going in America. including a recent one in San Diego, both coming and going, because the USL team was replaced, let's say, in that market by an MLS team. And the logo that they came up with for that club is atrocious. We have seen some really, really bad crests come out recently. I think that the Tampa Bay Sun, and I, you know, I'm biased because it's this area, but this is not speaking from bias. I think that they knocked that out of the park. I think that it is awesome. The colors are going to be very cool. The second that I see that a yellow hat is available, I'm buying that, and it will be on my head. But I am really, really happy about everything that they have done in terms of at least the branding. If they can match the branding with what they put out on the field, then that'd be great. And also, they should sign my sister to play for them. But I will leave it there for the Tampa Bay Sun. I can't wait for that to get going in August, because they are following the regular soccer calendar, it should be noted. And that's just awesome stuff for this region. Well, everyone, I think that this has been a jam-packed episode with a lot of stuff to go through, but thank you for tuning in and following us all the way to the end here. Please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere. We are at RBLR Sports. I am mostly on Twitter. I'm not really on most of the other ones now, but I am at RBLR James K. What about you, Carlos?
Carlos DBA10 on Twitter, tweeting about the Rowdies. Obviously, there's news to talk about, but I'm excited for the preseason. It's going to be full of great, great content. And I'm always throwing my opinions on there. So if you want to hear my not professional opinion, come check it out at Carlos GPA 10.
There we go. And he can tell you how to make a pretty something Moscow mule.
Exactly.
So please also like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience, of course, on YouTube, and we love when you do that. But if you just want to listen to us, we're on Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. For another week in the bag and a new coach, come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.